With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friends, and welcome in. This is In This League right here on Sports Grid and Mightier 1090. It's ITL. We in the house. I am Chris Welch. That is Scott Bogman. We're gonna be your
pilots for the next 3 hours. We're gonna be taking you on this flight. If you could please put your seats in the upright position, wear those damn masks.
They don't do walkie talkie.
Just wanted to say to everybody, welcome to the show. And you look at your right side, you'll see some sports incoming.
Well. You won't see any sports happening really whatsoever right now. A little bit of crazy in the world. Maybe we should stay on this plane for the next 3 months.
Yeah, don't land.
There was a real bad down there. There was a show. I'm forgetting. Oh no, I just remembered what it was called. It was on Netflix, and it was called Into the Night. I think it was. Did you see this show?
No.
So what it was like the world was exploding, very similar to 2020,
right. Okay.
Where when the sun would come up, everyone was just like, bruh, you know, it was like the sun, it was something about like the sun's radiation.
It was expanding. Yeah.
It was getting all the people. So these
Year is this supposed to be? Is it supposed
now,
to be current times?
It's supposed to be current times, but it takes place in like Germany, and a bunch of people are on this plane and they get in the air and they realize that if they stay flying across the world following, you know, the darkness of the sun, you know, where the sun isn't, that they could stay alive. And they, and you know, it's happy adventures where they stop and they fuel up and there's like some army guys involved, and it's just like crazy show that they dubbed, you know, it's one of those like Rain or whatever. I'm thinking it's very applicable for 2020, right?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is, you know. I think the guy in Contact did that too when he realized he was about to die. He was like, just fly me up to space. I'll die slower up there. So
yeah, I mean, at this point with fires and hurricanes and sickness and some real sociopolitical things that are going on across the world right now, affecting not just real life, but, you know, sports having a big hand and some pretty monumental movements. Maybe something you don't need to get in a plane and close your eyes from. Some big, powerful things that happened in sports this past week. And we're going to talk some about it. We got a whole bunch. We got football, we got basketball, we got baseball, and we've got, you know, some historic things that went down in sports, and ITL is going to have you covered. So don't you go anywhere. That's a quick one. ITL, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in, Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Me.
Welcome back, friends. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090. We're streaming and we're on the airwaves. So, someone made a mistake that ITL is allowed to do that. Welcome back. It's Chris Welsh, Scott Bogman. Find us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports. I will tell you, Boggs, I don't know when it's going to be that I get used to those quick hitting segments, those little monologue segments of 3 minutes there. Hopefully people like that one. It's like you get into a moment, like it's bad for you and I because we can be formulated. We've fought this battle for years with ourselves where we're like, all right, this is what we want to do with a show, but something that we don't want to mute ourselves, which plenty of other people would mute, is we don't want to take away our tangents or our weird brains. So where you would have a 3 minute monologue, I'm ready to start talking
our
about
tangents are longer than 3 minutes. So
our
in
tangents
general.
Could be 19. We've 19 minute tangented it before. And I'm ready to like have this like nice little, quick, powerful kind of conversation about what's going on. And then I lose myself in a show about a plane that's trying to avoid the sun. And it's just like, it's difficult. 3 minutes is very difficult, but I actually enjoyed that show. I'm one of the few people though, and we'll talk about the real stuff, but like when Netflix has that really big thing they're doing now where they get all these, really cool shows that are from all around the world and they dub them in English. And I hate that. I actually hate the dub because it's always bad. And I prefer to just do subtitles because the actors are so much better. But there's so many of those. Into the Night is actually not a bad one. So I suggest you check it out.
I've seen a couple of those. Like Futurama did one where they were an anime. And it was just funny. And it was like aliens were invading in this weird, trippy anime Futurama episode. And they're like, well, the aliens don't speak English like we do. Yeah. And I don't know why every time I see that one, it murders me, that line. Well, the aliens don't speak English like we do.
Well, that's like Netflix. Netflix is doing the same thing. They're like, wow, the mass audiences, we've got to change it up. All right. So real talk, real stuff here. A pretty intense week across the board. Even for us, I told you, offline, like earlier in the week, especially with, a majority of the movement that's kind of happened in this past week have to do with the events that surround Jacob Blake and the criminal act that's going on with all that. But then there was the subsequent protest that followed that and the violence that happened there. And I hadn't really seen it earlier in the week, kind of as things were materializing, just so much going on in life. I hadn't sat down. Like I knew the other stuff,
it's
but
tough to watch the news right now, man.
I try to avoid it as much as possible. Cause
it's rough,
but I just hadn't been up on the news. And I spoke to you offline that like, finally, after this is a powerful statement and it shows the impact of what sports can do. The Bucks, they didn't show up on Wednesday and they boycotted the game due to the events and the violence that ensued the night before. So then I saw, the crazy stuff that happened in Wisconsin and it was heartbreaking. It's really, really heartbreaking. The stuff that was going on and attached to it. And then what follows is the entire NBA on Wednesday boycotting their games in protest. I mean, boycott's a really interesting word because I don't view it as that. Like, boycott to me is like, we're not getting the money we want. Like, to me, this was, they were standing up they're standing up for injustice, and this was their statement. So boycott has such a negative connotation to me that it didn't feel like that's what they were doing. They were standing up for something, and they used the platform and the power that they had to say, we're out. And that's a statement beyond a statement that we haven't seen before in sports, a solidarity of, you know, we saw some in baseball on Wednesday. Obviously we'll talk about like what's happening after the fact, but we saw some teams on Wednesday in baseball sit out. Obviously the Brewers and the Reds were the start. We had some players, but for, you know, the playoff teams to unite in that fashion, it's a pretty big deal.
And they talked about the rest of the playoffs, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of pushback to even starting the bubble because it was, you know, closer to when George Floyd happened and, you know, the protests were going on at that point, what kind of coincided with, you know, the collective bargaining agreement with the NBA and Major League Baseball and all of their nonsense before they got their season rolling and all that stuff. So there was a lot of pushback and guys opted out, and Kyrie, you know, obviously opted out for social reasons and not, you know, COVID reasons. So
this was one of those big movements. And like you said, kind of one of the really intense things that came out of this was like, so you first have that. You have this statement, which it's really weird. Like, I don't do this a lot, but like I'll occasionally like eclectically move across and, you know, you watch some weird news, or sometimes like I'll listen to like a Fast Money, you know, like a stock thing. And I happen to just that day turn on, because I'm interested in that stuff, I happen to turn on Fast Money, and they're like breaking news inside their show about how the NBA is like kind of standing still and how, you know, they're boycotting the games. And like, family, you know, like my mother-in-law knew about this, like, so you can see of kind of where that movement goes. But then it went a step further that had a lot of different ramifications of like, we're not going to stand for this. There were financial ramifications in stocks and stuff, where the NBA was legitimately talking about just ending, just not having a playoff. And LeBron James was actually kind of at the forefront, I guess.
Well, the Clippers and Lakers were the two teams that opted, that they voted to not have a season. Now it looks like on Thursday, they've reconvened, cooler heads have prevailed, and they're going to, you know, I always think it's tough. It's a tough answer. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer on whether to play or not play, but I do think that you make a bigger impact using your platform instead of putting it aside. Sometimes I think you just reach more people that way.
Well,
in my opinion.
If it's done correctly, and to your respect, that actually was something that took place on Thursday, because Mookie Betts with the Los Angeles Dodgers had told the team he was going to sit out on Thursday's game. But then he reconsidered because of exactly what you're saying. He figured he could actually do more with his platform being in the game than him just sitting out at this point. Because I think I think the first step was done by players, you know, making this stand, and NBA and MLB players did it, and basketball did it. And the next step is guys coming back. I think the NBA figured they wanted to play their games. That's why ultimately you did have the Clippers and LeBron very vocally wanted to end everything as a statement. But ultimately the players all decided they wanted to keep going. That's probably the next step, is to continue playing and everybody kind of going with a bigger voice. We've just never seen, I feel like this year has been a twofold united in sports, where it's like you had the owners versus the players at the biggest degree ever because of the virus. And the virus kind of, you know, put all of sports together in one so-called bubble, if you will. And then now you've got, you know, some very intense sociopolitical issues that are, you know, uniting sports pretty heavily. And, you know, we saw this in, you know, two sports. You know, hockey did not partake, but you had baseball and basketball and the WNBA as well, that, and putting that into basketball bogs, like, you know, make this stand on one given day, and even into Thursday as well. It's an intense week. It's a very intense week.
And tragedy makes people reflect. And I think that's what's been going on with everything this year, you know, with you know, all the deaths from COVID and all of, you know, the Black Lives Matter protest, with all of these deaths that are just ridiculous. You know, it's the first time the NBA canceled or had players boycott a game, I think they said since 1961. And it was Bill Russell leading the charge then. And it was for the same stuff. The same thing. It was for the same stuff. Cops killing black people. It's just unbelievable.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
50 years. And it's the same stuff going on. 60 years almost. So
yeah.
It's
and
ridiculous.
It divides a line. You know, it's hard for people that only want sports right now because, you know, they're inundated with things that maybe they just don't care about or they don't want to hear or they just can't physically hear. The stick to sports people are out in droves. People are affected by not feeling the same way about specific events and stuff like that. But the thing that sports has done is it has put it in the limelight, and you're going to have to deal with it in some respect, whether it's going away and avoiding the people and muting the people and not watching, or, you know, taking a serious look at the entire thing. And that's what sports did in a nutshell. It's a pretty incredible week that it is. We got to go to break, though. When we come back, we are going to talk about the sports that is still in play. So don't go anywhere. More In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, y'all, what up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm here to tell y'all that I'm launching my podcast, Carefully Reckless, on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and telling y'all other people's business, too. It ain't no limits to the things I talk about. Y'all know that if y'all know me. From baby mama drama to healthy relationships, from child support to stimulus checks. Look, when you take a step back and you realize that we all go through crazy stuff and we got stories to tell, those situations do not define you. But they do make for a real good conversation. In a world where clickbait and cancel culture can tell your story before you do, I'm creating an outlet to remind people that we still human, crazy, and we can all laugh about it. Don't stress over it. Bring your problems to me. I promise I won't judge you, but I might crack a joke or two. Don't be scared. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. Just make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless on January 20th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
InThisLeague.com. That is the place you got to go check out right now. Now, why? Well, it's because it's our Patreon. It's not just a website. We're actually tricking you. We're actually, in fact, completely messing with your brain, because you're going to go there. You're going to be like, hey, what's up on the website? And then, whew, it's going to take you over to our Patreon. But trick's on you. Because it's amazing, because we've got our secret shows. We've got ranks list up the wall at a fantasy football draft coming up this weekend or next. We have got a multitude of different lists there. We've got twice a week streams. We've got the GroupMe rooms. You want to hang out with us? It's tons and tons of stuff. We built a community. If you build it, they will come, I was told. So that's check us out. InThisLeague.com. That is the Patreon. And we would we'd love you a long time. That's what they say, Bob.
That's right. Hey, that's right. Go ahead.
I was just going to do a little Louisiana shout out. If you are in the area, I've got some family in Texas and a few people in the Louisiana area. And
texting my mom to see, because I have family in Houston, in the Galveston area, that type of, you know, that part of Texas. So I'm just texting her to see if they're okay right now. I know they said over 500,000 people are without power. So
it's crazy.
It just ramped up. And I read that, you know, because I turned the news on yesterday like a psychopath. Yeah. And I just wanted to see what was going on, because it was real late at night. And, you know, the hurricane was just making its landing early in the morning, Thursday morning, in Louisiana and Texas. And they said it's going to be the strongest hurricane that hit Louisiana in a century.
Crazy.
I was like, Katrina, you know.
Well, wasn't there like a category 5 that happened like 3 years ago or something like that?
Who knows? And there's two. There's another one, I guess, on its way. I don't know if it's dissipated or not.
Well, two like locked in together, and that's why it got so big. I was talking with my mom, my poor wife got luckily not the COVID, but got really sick with this really bad strep throat, and the last place you want to go to is like a hospital right now.
Yeah,
and we were dealing with that over 2 days and wrong antibiotics, and it's just been a nightmare. And so I was talking to my mom about it, and she was just like, well, I'm going to add her to the table of thoughts because I've got family in Northern California with my uncle and a family friend that literally evacuated because of the fires. Their house was in the zone, and they just found out actually today or yesterday that they're good. Yeah, that it's safe. Yeah. And then you've got other family, her brother that's in Austin, and it's just like, okie doke, like, all right, that's what we're dealing with. So there's just
it's like crazy,
a lot going on.
Yeah, and the path that it's on too was just nuts. I'm like, I'm texting my buddy Will. I'm like, you're gonna get some of that rain that comes after. You know, obviously won't be as bad, but the big storms going all the way through, and that stuff. You know, I talked about it before hurricane season. They projected 9. So what is this 2? Is this 2 or 3 that we've had already? That, like, it's just so ridiculous that I can't even keep count of how many hurricanes
I was telling my son about hurricanes. He's like, can hurricanes come here? We live in Arizona. And I'm like, no, bud. He's like, I hate hurricanes. As we're driving home it's like 8:45 PM and it's 112 degrees out at 8:45 PM. And I'm like, yeah, no, we're totally cool. It's all good here in Arizona.
no hurricane. Global warming in Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the hottest place on the entire.
I saw something that said, hey, Arizona, don't worry. You're going to get yours because there's fire. And, you know, the next week starts tarantula mating season. So we got that to go with there. Yeah, I mean, I think the Welsh would rather deal with hurricanes than that. But,
No. I'll jump into a hurricane before I jump into a mating pile of spiders. It's absolutely my worst fear. Let's talk about some sports, though. So obviously, you know, everything crazy. There's kind of a couple things going on. I want to talk about, what do you think, Boggs? I know what we said here. I'm gonna give you the call here. There's a lot of trade stuff going on, and then there's baseball bubble stuff. What do you want to tackle first?
Let's do trade stuff. Okay. I think trade stuff first always is more fun to speculate and throw out wild accusations and potential trades and all that kind of stuff.
Well, let me jump to this one then real quick, because I know there's a big one that's been there's a couple that are looming around of potential trade ideas. And I've even seen our guy like Robbie Ray. I've seen people talking about Max Scherzer, but you know, one to sit on here is what happened earlier in the week with the Cleveland Indians, because we got word on Tuesday that Mike Clevinger was coming back. He was going to start, and he started on Wednesday. But at the same time, they told Zach Plesac, who were both implicated in, you know, breaking the rules and going out to a bar. And Clevinger lied about it, but Clevy is the better player. The Indians bring him back. They even make a statement. Hopefully we can get this, you know, behind us and blah, 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 blah. But then they go tell Zach Plesac, kick rocks, son. We don't have a spot for you. Oh, hopefully we have a spot for you soon. Do you think the Indians, in being one of the more dangerous teams out there, do you think the Indians, now that, you know, we have the answer of who's there and who's not, you think Plesac is gone? You think Clevinger, you think they're showboating him around right now to get him a start? You know, deadline is on Monday. So what do you think about Plesac and Clevinger? Are they both still Indians?
Yeah, I do. I think right. They're both going to
still. I asked you this earlier in the week.
I just do. I mean, I think that if they really were looking to hurt these guys, or just, you know, to bring the unity to their team by getting rid of them, I think honestly it would already have been done. They would have taken a little bit less on each of them just to get them out, just to kind of show, because I think that's the kind of thing where you're like, hey, look, we're showing our players we're taking this seriously. We're not going to allow these fools to ruin it. So we're going to trade them immediately. We're going to take, you know, not 50 cents on the dollar, but maybe 75, maybe 80, something like that, and just get them out of here to keep the unity in our locker room. They didn't do that, so I think they stay. So I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. I don't know what the contracts look like on either one of those guys. I know that Zach Plesac's still playing on his rookie deal, obviously. And Clevinger, I think, is he in arbitration? I can't remember. So
I think he's, I want to say like he's, I don't know if it's arbitration. It might be like actual contract coming up here.
Okay.
It might be arbitration because he might be due a crap load and they don't want to pay it. So
yeah, either way, right. Either way, I think that if they were really looking to set an example and say to their team, we will not stand for this, these guys are gone, it would have been done. But it's also tough to trade 2/5 of your starting rotation. You know what I mean? That's It's hard and ill-advised.
Yeah, but it's not hard when you're the Indians. It's not when you're the Indians, because they've got Bieber, Carrasco, Savali, Tristan McKenzie comes up, is lights out, and then you've also got Clevinger. Please, Zach.
But you can never have enough pitching, dude.
I mean, I agree with that.
You know, that's kind of the thing.
But not if there's a home for him. Not if he did what might be in the place here.
Well, it's
got to
be worth
damage.
It's got to be worth it, which is why I think, you know, it's tough to trade those pitchers. So that's why I think, because it has to be worth it. I think if it was just close enough, the deals would already be done. That's kind of my point.
So you bring up something interesting. We'll pander to the hearts of the San Diegoans or whatever.
San Diegoans.
San Diegoans or San Diegoans. I want to say San Diegans, but whatever. But the people of San Diego, because I think the Padres are massive buyers in this market, as they should be. And I've seen, and it happens pretty commonly out here. People just forget some of the ties. Not that anybody couldn't do it, but you know, there's a lot of local touch with the facilities and how teams communicate for the Indians and the Padres, because they're both out here in Arizona. Their facilities are out here, and the both teams have, you know, they've done trades back and forth. Logan Allen trade happened. Francisco Mejia was traded from the Indians over. There's just an open form of communication. If the Indians were looking to maximize some cost or some value over Clevinger, which I think is less likely, or Plesac, I think the Padres would be somebody that should heavily be viewed in the market. And I have seen some Indians people bring this up. And here's another guy we can talk about as well. And when you're talking about the buyer's market, I think they could look at a Clevinger or Plesac, and the Padres have more than enough assets to acquire them as well. I have seen some people kind of shout out saying the Padres should look at moving Uber prospect Mackenzie Gore to go get a guy like Josh Hader. You know, Josh Hader out there, Brewers, what are they fully competing for at this point? Take control of your relieving asset, you know, restructure the team. And I know a lot of Padres people would balk at the idea of moving Gore for a reliever, but you got to understand, I mean, Hader's the best reliever in baseball. And rattle off that thing you were just telling me before we started up the show about Hader.
Hader has started the year with a relief no-hitter, 9 1/3 innings, with no hits allowed. So
what has he got, like 14 strikeouts?
Way more than that, I think. He's strong. So he's the best reliever in baseball right now. He's the one guy that hasn't had his job questioned pretty much. This year,
you know, in the trade market where everybody is some form of a buyer, there are very few sellers. There has to be a team or two that step up to be the big buyers. And I think the Padres should be the big buyers. I think they've got an issue on the back end of the rotation, and they have had a clear issue in the bullpen. Kirby Yates, trash. He was trash for a while. Emilio Pagan is serving now, but Pomeranz back on the IL, which was a strength, has now tapered down. That if they could go and take, let's just, you know, throw it out here, they move a Mackenzie Gore and one or two other prospects in multiple trades to go get, let's say, a Plesac and a Hader, that would be game changing for what is one of the best teams in baseball and needs to be hyper aggressive at the trade deadline if you're going to compete in the NL West alone with the Dodgers.
By the way,
the
13
Rockies.
Strikeouts. I was wrong. I thought it was way more, but yeah, 13 strikeouts over 9 innings. You're right. Yeah, the Padres have put themselves in a good spot and can absolutely make a move for this. And they built that farm system up for a long time. You've been watching it. So
yeah, you build that farm system up. So when you need that ammunition to go and make a big move, you got it. And the Padres have it. And I think there are things out there. It'd be hard to pull Hader off, but they've got the top prospects. And hey, a guy like Plesac, he would be great in the rotation. It might be available. Don't go anywhere. Talk a little bit more about that and more right here in this league on the Sports Grid. Mighty Your 10-9.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My good people, my name is Questlove. host of the Rabbit Hole Pop Culture Nerd Paradise, otherwise known as Questlove Supreme. We here at QLS take pride in bringing out the best of our many guests, and this particular episode is no different. We are honored to bring you a special two-part episode with the one and only, drumroll please, Mariah Carey. Yes, Mariah Carey. She gets very candid about her three-decade-plus illustrious career.
And nobody knew who I was, and they introduced me, ladies and gentlemen, Columbia recording artist, Mariah Carey. They're like, wow. But then at the end of it, the announcer, he's like, the palace now has a queen.
She tells it like it is and shares with her fans what it's like to be Mimi.
Diana Ross, and she's by herself, doing her hair, doing her makeup, walking barefoot in and out of the room. And she's like, in the most glamorous way possible. And she's like, Mariah, one day you're not going to have all these people around you. You're not going to have all these people around you. And now I'm like, I believe that someday is here.
Listen to Questlove Supreme on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Suprema!
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, friends. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid, the radio edition of ITL. It's not the only edition, though. Of course, you can catch this podcast. If you missed any of it, or maybe you're listening on the podcast, you probably know. You can catch all 3 hours of ITL in podcast format right here from Sports Grid. Just type in This League. You'll see it. But also, and when you type in This League, you're going to find a lot of our other products, In This League, Fantasy Baseball Podcast, Football. We've got college football, and we even got prospects. That's one of the ones I do at basketball, which hasn't been done in a while. And, you know, with how basketball is going, who knows if there'll be even more basketball once they finish the playoffs. That's been another one of the things is if basketball will even start back up in 2020. You know, Adam Silver had said he thought December 1st was even a little too soon for them to consider resetting a brand new season. So it might be 2021.
Well, that's what they wanted. And then the players said, no, December 1st, we're ending in the beginning of October, the season. And then the draft is immediately after that. And you want to start on December 1st, not a chance. So,
Well, that's why they're going to
look more like Martin Luther King Day. And I think that it would make a lot of sense with everything that's going on right now to start the NBA season on that holiday. I think that'd be, it could be a great statement made and all that, but we'll see when we get there. So,
but either way, you can catch all of the In This League podcasts and everything in Fantasy Black Books, another one we do with Joe Pizzapia. Just search it or, follow us on Twitter, Is It The Welsh at Bogman Sports, if you want to follow along with all the other stuff. So we were talking about the looming trade deadline. We've already had a couple little small, smallish dinky trades. The bigger one, I suppose, was Brandon Workman being traded to the Phillies. He's already picked up a couple saves, so that's been a very solid one. But we've seen some minor league trades. We had on Thursday, the Kansas City Royals send Brett Phillips, who is a great defender, okay, lower than okay hitter. Everything else is subpar. They traded, amazingly, traded him to the Rays. The Rays can't have enough, utility, defensive
outfielders. Exactly what the Rays need, more outfielders.
Depth or whatever. And they traded Lucius Fox, who it's really funny. I actually tweeted about, I don't know if you saw this, I tweeted about Fox and he retweeted it like a month or so ago. And it was just me reliving one of the Arizona Fall Leagues. It was like two Fall Leagues ago. And I don't remember the reason why I tweeted about it, but I was just reliving the championship game at one of the Arizona Fall Leagues where Jazz Chisholm and Lucius Fox, who are good friends, they grew up in Brazil. They're, a handful of the Brazilian baseball prospects that are out there. And those two decided during the championship game to just grab photographers' cameras and start playing media. And I have a picture where I'm taking a picture of Lucius Fox and he's taking a picture of me with an XLR camera and Jazz Chisholm is right there. And I had just shared that like a month or two ago because I actually like Fox. He's a solid defender. He's probably, below average bat and, the power. He can run. The power is just not quite there. He's one of those guys that needs a couple years if anything is going to click. but he's just a great guy also. And he was moved to the Kansas City Royals. So like that was one of the smaller, we're seeing like little small dinky trades like that. What was the other one that just happened? It was, Taijuan Walker was traded to the Blue Jays. Is significant-ish.
He's
for
been
the
good
rotation.
This year. Yeah, he's been good this year, and they need guys. I know Trent Thornton just went down for the year for them, and the Rays have had 10 pitchers done for the year on the IL already this season. It's crazy. Well, the amount of pitching injuries. I mean, we can't.
They should go acquire some. They didn't need to acquire.
Should trade some outfielders.
They should have traded for Taijuan Walker. But Taijuan Walker in Buffalo is a little bit. So, like, those are the scale of trades. And what's interesting about that is, like, usually we'll have like one trade where the trade
Real quick, how many Batman references every time you say Lucius Fox? Because I saw whoever tweeted out the trade today, what was like. Lucius Fox traded to the Royals for Brett Phillips. Please, no more Batman jokes. After like an official announcement, on the same tweet, it said, please, no more Batman jokes.
It'd be the same thing. It would be like, you know, a player to be named later was Bruce Wayne. Like, it's the same Lucius Fox thing. All the people would do.
Grievous Vasquez, all of it. Yeah, yeah. Anyone that could be, you know, a nerdy character from a show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whatever. But like usually leading up to the trade deadline, you'll get this like one bigger trade that when the whole deadline's over, we're like, well, you know, that was kind of the big one. This one we're leading into Monday's trade deadline, you know, at a smaller scale. I mean, this weekend has the potential to pop a few, but I really think, and I said this like a month ago, I think Monday is going to be more firepower because teams are going to take it right up until the last minute to make that decision. I think there's a couple teams like the Mariners who already moved Taijuan Walker. A couple teams already know that they're going to be sellers. And I think there's some teams that are towing the line if they want to be sellers, but they're going to take it up until Sunday or Monday. And also that kind of helps for these other teams that are vying for these top spots to be able to pay high dollars. Like I think one of the most active teams at the deadline should be the San Diego Padres. I think they should be it's a great depth team, but they're young. And I think they could use some more veteran leadership and they've got the assets to go and acquire. So there's going to be a couple heavy hitting buyers. I would imagine the Yankees and the Padres. There'll be some others that try to tow their, put their feet in the water. And
Rays
they'll probably
are 21 and 11. So they're going to be buyers.
I think there's so many that are buyers, but who will be aggressive buyers? I don't think the Rays will be aggressive buyers. I think the Yankees
two and a half games ahead of the Yankees.
But so. I'm not saying that it doesn't have to do with the record to me. It has to do with their philosophy. Like they're a team that, how often do you see them pull the trigger on like a massive bring?
No, they don't. They're a small market team, so they usually don't. But I mean, you got to be realistic in your window, and this might be the window. For
I just like I don't see the Rays being the one that go out probably and spend not. And pay for a team like Mike Clevenger. Very money ball the Rays are. It's like they follow their philosophy to a T. Where the Yankees and the Padres, I think, are the teams that would pay the high dollar.
How about the White Sox? They're 19-12.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pitching, but they're not going to cut any deals with the Indians. Call the Diamondbacks if you want with Robbie Ray. I think that's possible. Yeah.
A's are 22-10, but same deal with the Rays.
What you're starting to define is like, I think I'm saying there's hyper aggressive. There's hyper sell.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just pointing out the good team.
Yeah. And then there's this middle one. And there's these middle.
The Cubs are 18-12. They're going to go buy. You know, they should. They're teams that print money. We'll go by, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the Cubs could surprise us. That you're right about that. Printing
the Dodgers
money.
Are 22-9. They could buy something, you know.
Yeah, and I think they're in that middle ground though, and that's where it starts to come to. You found this for us. It's an article on The Score that started to highlight some of the, because I think pitching is going to be the key here. I'm not sure how much offense is going to be out purchased at this deadline. I don't think, you know, most of the offenses probably feel relatively well. I mean, Jesus, Puig is still out there if somebody wanted to go pull the trigger. So I don't know how many offensive players are going to impact offensive players are going to be there. I think it's the pitching. And you found this article at The Score Bogs that highlights some of the top pitching that could be available at the deadline. And Clevenger and Plesac are two of the top three. And we've already kind of expressed like, this is where they sit. You know, this is these two both could be available. I think an NL team makes a lot of sense. The Indians might not want to be selling. They're not going to want to sell Plesac to a Yankees team that they're going to be playing up. They're going to want to move them to the NL. So both of those make sense. But number two on this list, Number two is very, very interesting because he's having a fantastic, fantastic year, but he's always eligible for free agency the following year, Boggs. Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, look, if I'm a team that owns Trevor Bauer, I'm trying to get him off my team. So that's my personal philosophy on Trevor Bauer and all that stuff. But, you know, he's played well. We went over it the other day when we were talking about just the guys that rank high in fantasy right now. And he was the number two pitcher in all of baseball, Trevor Bauer was. So he is a very, very attractive option. So what's that deal look like between the Padres and the Reds? So, well, she's the minor league guy. What do they have to give up? He is a rental, so you don't have to go give up Mackenzie Gore or something like you would have to for Clevinger, who I looked it up. Clevinger, arbitration next year and 2021, 2022. Plesak doesn't even start until 2023. So those options cost you way more than getting a one-year rental in like Trevor Bauer. So.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I'm not even sure Clevinger costs the Padres Mackenzie Gore. I don't think that. I think that's a hater type of deal. It's a crazy different level impact. Not saying Clevinger's not, but
you know, there's no way I'd give up Gore for a reliever. It doesn't matter what reliever ever.
Yeah, but so. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree. I think it's part of the conversation. It's funny that you said that with the Padres, because I don't think the Yankees would bring on Trevor Bauer. I think the Yankees are very like facial hair and blah, blah. Like I just think an outspoken player like that doesn't mix well. But I absolutely think he fits perfectly with the Padres at this point. I think he even has some friends on the Padres, you know, because, again, you come back to
Manny Machado and Trevor Bauer are friends. That surprises me not at all.
I don't know if they are, but I think he has a couple buddies on there. I think the deal probably looks something along the lines, if you're talking rental, like an Adrian Morione, something like that.
That's what I was thinking. I just, bless you. He's allergic to Adrian Morione, the Welsh. But Adrian Morione.
I'm allergic to actually trading Adrian Morione. But I think like it would probably be something where the Reds want close to impact. I mean, dude, I wouldn't be surprised if they wouldn't trade Taylor Trammell back to the Reds, but those teams have worked out trades before. You never know. I wouldn't be surprised if it was it would be a relatively close to the majors type of player, maybe a Ryan Weathers who got a save opportunity earlier in the year. It would be along the lines of one of those guys and a lower player. I think you could go and get for a rental in Trevor Bauer, and that's the impact move that I think that's why the Padres are the hyper aggressive team, because like you said, Dodgers will go out and make a move, but it'll be small. Rays will go out and make moves, they'll be small, you know, the Taijuan Walkers of the world stuff like that. But the Padres need to be the big splashers, the Clevingers, the Bowers, the Plesac. You know, the other two top two on this list are fascinating. Lance Lynn, a lot of people are looking at. He's got $2.5 million remaining on his salary for the year. And then you also got Dylan Bundy.
If I'm trading for Lance Lynn, I'm just going to make sure that whoever I'm trading with pays for his uniforms from now on. Like, you know, you got to pay for those triple X's and all the sweat stains.
It's like the shirts where it's like, hey, it's $20 shirt. And then it's like, ooh, 2X. It'll be an extra $2.
His jersey looks like, you know, my shirt after doing miles on the treadmill. So
I'd actually probably, he's one of the few baseball players I would feel good if I put on his jersey. I'd feel good about that. Like, after that. He'd be like, a little bit of breathing room here.
Exactly. Look at this. You know,
I can do in this jersey. This is fantastic.
Try to put on Mookie Betts uniform and like putting a condom on a watermelon. So
it's not gonna work. Those are five impact pitchers that I think they're all relatively available. You can argue it's only one of the Indians guys, but you know, Dylan Bundy, he's had a fantastic year on an Angels team that is just struggling. You know, that so much money is spent across the board that I think it might behoove them to hold on. You don't trade Bundy as a rental with how he's performed. That's why I think he could be less likely. But the Rangers should move on, and they should try to acquire what they can for Lance Lynn. And I think a team like the Padres makes a lot of sense. A couple of the guys that were listed on here, Johnny Cueto, Trevor Rosenthal, very likely in the pitching market, could be moved. Martin Perez of the Red Sox and Alex Cobb. Alex Cobb has kind of seen a little bit of a resurgence with the Orioles. These are all, I think you could see 60% of the names that we just listed, you know, six of the 10 be moved at this trade deadline, because that's the asset that teams want.
It's just going to be weird because so many teams make the playoffs, eight in each, league here. So many teams are not going to want to deal things because they think they're still into it, even their smaller parts. So it's going to be weird to see who fights that, who actually does do those big trades. And, you know, 2020 is wacky. So let's see something really weird happen. Let's do the Workaholics. Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird. All right, we're going to get weird in this break. Come back a little 3-minute outer for hour one. So don't go anywhere. It's Bogman. It's Welsh. We're in this league. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Thing, on iHeartRadio. It's my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers, like the actress Kristen Bell.
And the moment I said, you know what, I have a thing, and it's a quirky, weird, fun thing that can be snarky, and I love doing it. I do it pretty well. Why not lean into it? And that is when I felt like I started becoming happier.
Music legend Mick Fleetwood.
Fleetwood Mac was always about change so that you were accepted for who you were.
Former governor of Vermont, Howard Dean.
I took the call, and this quavering voice on the other end of the phone says, I regret to inform you that the governor has died of a heart attack, and you're the governor. That was the end of my medical practice.
And best-selling author Isabel Wilkerson.
People would come up to me of all different backgrounds and would say to me, I had no idea that this happened in our country.
If you like listening as much as I like talking with interesting people, go to heresthething.org and subscribe now on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering
and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
All right, welcome back, friendos. In this league, Bogman Welsh. Oh, you know that we're on the grid. We're on the radio. We're on all the places. And thank you guys for tuning in. That was only hour one. They're flying. They're flying.
They fly. It flies. I think just because it's broken up a little bit more than we're used to, it feels faster. I don't know if it actually is. I know it's just time-wise it's a little faster, but it just feels way, way faster.
You want to talk about time flying? Probably something we got to be hitting in the next segment is the football season and the fantasy football season. It was amazing watching Hard Knocks this week and realizing, like, you know, they said, you know, they're like, and the Rams will take, you know, take the field with the Cowboys in 3 weeks. And I was like, what? Like, or whichever one. I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you really think about it, this and next weekend, this might be the biggest fantasy football weekend. I actually think it's next week because people's equilibrium is screwed up.
Well,
right
it
now.
Should be, you know, it should be Wednesday before that Thursday kickoff. You know.
Yeah, in the correct Bogman world, I completely agree with Bogman world. It should be like Thursday afternoon is when you do it. People in a normal time would usually do the 2 weeks before. That would kind of be like, this would be the historically popular.
After the last preseason game, it's the last dress rehearsal because that fourth preseason game, you know, no one who matters for fantasy in general is going to play. So no one's going to get hurt. So you feel safe going into that week.
I am sure there are just exponentially more people than normal that would even just casually play or might have a league or two and keeper leagues that haven't even thought about it going into this weekend and going, oh crap, we've got to get this going. And that's what they're going to do into next week. So there's a lot of fantasy football there's a lot of football to talk about. I love the players that are pandering. Austin Eckler going, preparing to, you know, win with your fantasy team. Rumors out there, weird trades. We got the David Montgomery news. He's out for 2 to 4 weeks. Will the Bears make some moves? Kalen Ballage was traded to the Jets in the ever insane Jets running back situation that you just hate. And that's something we got to talk about. So whether
I love it.
Well, I mean, you love it, but it's
I love it.
They require Kalen Ballage. You think it's going to keep putting Levy? Well, we'll save it for the next segment. So whether it's Bell, Joe Mixon, or whatever, there's still so much to prep for as you guys are getting ready for fantasy football this week and into next weekend, and we got you an hour too, so don't go anywhere. More in this league.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.